Broadcasting from high atop Rocky Road in Moab, Utah, this is KZMU News. I'm Emily Ernson. Cases of syphilis are on the rise in Colorado, particularly in newborn babies. This has prompted the state to declare a public health order requiring prenatal syphilis screenings. KDNK's Lily Jones has more.
According to the Colorado Department of Health, rates of syphilis in our state have increased more than three times over since 2018, representing a nearly 80% increase. Nationally, congenital syphilis is also on the rise, meaning that infected individuals are unknowingly passing the disease to their infants. Here is Dr. Ina Park, a medical consultant for the CDC's Division of STD Prevention.
When the pandemic hit, a lot of clinics actually shut down completely. And then clinics that didn't shut down actually, and you made a policy that said anybody who doesn't have symptoms, you know, we're not going to see. We're only going to see people who are actively having symptoms and testing them for STIs. And so, as you know, many sexually transmitted infections don't have any symptoms. So there was a lot less testing going on. And then there was actually a national shortage of test kits, because a lot of the materials that are used to make the test kits for STI testing were actually diverted to making COVID test kits. And so we did see a dip in 2020 in the numbers of STI cases reported to the CDC. But the interesting thing is, by the end of 2020, gonorrhea and syphilis had caught up to the same levels that we had seen in 2019. And chlamydia still quite hasn't caught up, because I still don't think that people have gotten back completely into their routine of doing their healthcare maintenance and screening. And we've seen that also for mammograms, colonoscopies, you know, other healthcare maintenance. A lot of people have kind of fell off the wagon.
While Dr. Park says that the healthcare system has been able to recover fairly well from the overload of the pandemic, many minority demographics are still at a disadvantage.
If we look at syphilis among women, the communities the most sort of affected by the highest rates are American Indian and Alaska Native women, as well as non-Hispanic, Black and African American women. But I want to point out that actually rates of syphilis are rising in women of all races. And then with babies, we've seen almost a 200% increase in congenital syphilis in the past 5 years. So again, you know, those reflect the communities that are also affected by syphilis in women, but we've seen a huge increase in deaths. Also, almost 300 of those, like 3,700 babies that were born with syphilis in 2022 were actually either stillborn or died in the first 30 days of life. You know, 9 out of 10 of these cases of congenital syphilis were completely preventable, and it was issues like mom didn't have any prenatal care, or didn't access prenatal care in time, or didn't actually get treated in time. You know, the baby needs to be treated at least 30 days before the birth to avoid a case of congenital syphilis. So it was issues that are reflected in structural barriers and historical barriers that affect certain communities in terms of accessing care.
Syphilis testing for infants varies all over the country. Some states mandate testing at 28 weeks and then at delivery. No matter where you are, testing for syphilis is mandatory at the first prenatal visit, but some mothers never make it in. Syphilis is difficult to detect. Only in certain stages can providers identify it through visual symptoms like rashes and hair loss. Besides that, it is asymptomatic. However, if it's allowed to progress, it can cause lasting damage to the body.
Even in the very, very beginning, the first weeks of the infection, it can go into your brain, it can go into your eyes, it can actually go into your liver. So what it does is it just goes in there and it just quietly starts to multiply. And for the most part, it will not actually cause any type of like destruction or any huge awareness on your part that it's happening. Later on, if it's left untreated, like if you let it go a few months, it can actually start to deposit in your scalp and cause hair loss. It can cause growths on the genitals, and then it's going to start to deposit in the skin, and that's when you're going to see a rash. Classically, it happens on the hands and the feet, but it can actually happen all over the body. If you let it go even longer, that's when it can start causing things like brain damage, eye damage. It can cause hearing loss, that kind of thing. We really want to catch it as early as possible.
Dr. Park says that the healthcare system at large would be improved by removing barriers for patients and encouraging testing for everyone. But there are ways for individuals to lower their risk of venereal disease.
As an individual, the thing I think that we can do is make sure that when we start a new relationship, to get tested before we enter that relationship, before we actually have sex for the first time, so that we know whether or not we might be spreading something to the next person. And so that's the thing I think we can take control of and accept some personal responsibility for.
More information on public health and the prevention of STIs can be found at cdc.gov/std. For KD&K News, I'm Lily Jones.
Prom season is here. The big night is a rite of passage for high schoolers across the country. And sometimes students will celebrate by drinking alcohol or doing drugs. But the consequences can be devastating if they get behind the wheel. This year, Carbondale Fire and other emergency agencies banded together to show Roaring Fork High School students what an actual DUI crash looks like. They hope it'll help students make smarter decisions after prom. Reporter Hallie Zander from Aspen Public Radio has more.
The junior and senior class at Roaring Fork High School have gathered in their school parking lot, about 100 feet away from a fake crash scene called a mock DUI. Kaylee Gianetti, a junior, describes what they're all looking at.
There's about six like emergency vehicles and two cars that are crashed, and the helicopter is going off right now.
First responders from different agencies are acting out what they would do after a real crash. Two mangled cars with broken windows are poised next to each other. Student volunteers from an emergency medical responder class are covered in fake blood and littered across the scene, one with half of his body hanging out the front windshield. Gianetti says it was pretty disturbing.
We were just talking about how it makes us like anxious and it makes us feel like nauseous to see like the kid being covered up with the white sheet, because you think and like that could be your friend. That's one of our people, you know?
The mock DUI is intended to discourage students from drinking and driving. And with prom around the corner, the message is poignant. Carly DeBeck, a trauma program manager for Valley View Hospital, helped organize the scenario. She doesn't expect that this event will prevent students from drinking. Instead, she hopes they'll develop a plan ahead of time for prom with a parent, family friend, or other trusted adult.
If they find themselves in a situation that could be unsafe, that they can call that person. Because I can guarantee that those people would prefer the call from them than us.
After students watch the scene unfold in their school parking lot, they head indoors to their auditorium, where a video with emotional music depicts what happens to some of the victims in the hospital bay. When one of the students dies in the hospital, a doctor has to tell his mother, and the student who plays a drunk driver is booked in the Garfield County Jail. Students in the Roaring Fork School District have died in drunk driving accidents, one as recently as 2019. So families and teachers know that the consequences of ignoring this issue are very real. But while the mock DUI elicited a strong reaction from some students, others in the crowd were laughing. When asked if they thought the mock DUI was effective, students' reactions were mixed.
It's not entirely real, so the sense to be entirely safe isn't really sticking.
I obviously have never seen this like situation go down, so seeing a rendition of it like right in front of you is scary. Like it puts you in that situation, you're like, oh my gosh, like this could be real.
It sucks that it was fake and how people were laughing about it just because they knew the actors or whatever, but I think it's a super real thing that people do it all the time, especially in high school, and don't understand your actions affect others.
Some of the first responders acknowledged that generally these kinds of interventions are limited in their effectiveness. While students may say mock DUIs make them less likely to drink and drive, studies show that tends to wane over time, and the research doesn't prove that these scenarios change behavior. Firefighters and other medical professionals managing this scenario said this means they can't let up, and they have to keep hammering these messages home. DeBeck reflects on why these kinds of scenarios are personal for her.
As an ER trauma nurse, we tend to kind of compartmentalize things. But it definitely, you know, I have a 15-year-old son, so. Sorry. One of the worst things that we do is call families.
To make this mock DUI accessible for more schools in the region, Carbondale Fire filmed the event so it can be shown before special events like prom and graduation. The Carbondale Police Department says they did not receive any calls related to prom or the after parties on Saturday night. and that it appears to have been a safe celebration. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Hallie Zander.
And that's the KZMU News today. Get your community-powered journalism weekdays on the airwaves at noon and 6 p.m. You can also find KZMU News anytime online at kzmu.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.